So tonight is the first Tuesday night of July. And so similar to, I think, the last Te Show I gave, because I've been gone for a while, I traveled in Europe for close to 2 weeks. This is the night of the month where I teach Zazen to people who are somewhat new to the practice or completely new to the practice. So in doing this, I'm teaching what is essentially a kind of yoga, because there's a posture, there's something that you do with your breathing, there's a way to do it, it's a method, it's an extremely powerful tool. It can be expected to have certain very healing outcomes if you do it devotedly for a long enough period of time. And that's just a natural outcome of it. So to that degree, it is a kind of yoga. Now, there's lots of kinds of yoga. You could do Zazen, you could do Hatha yoga, you could do all other sorts of meditations, there's all sorts of New Age approaches, crystals, etc., etc., Tai Chi, martial arts. A million different methods. These are methods. Now, that is not what Zen is. So, I might as well start the new folks here and remind those of us that have been sitting for a long time that Zen is not a method. The method is critical to the practice because this method is what enables us to focus the mind. Therefore, be able to not be subjected completely, uncontrolledly to the process of thinking that creates an alternative world to the so-called real world, and develops an energy inside, an interior energy called Jodaki, which enables us to have a natural centeredness of our emotions and a clarity. So these are very, very important. So this method is not unessential to this bigger thing called Zen. But it is not the totality of it. So in a sense, Zen is much more than just a yoga and just a method. You could call it a religion. Now, the reason I would say that, and it's obviously a very loaded term, is because at the core of this practice is faith. That's also a loaded term. Religion, faith. It points at, it suggests, gives the impression of a belief system, a system of ideas that we need to adhere to, that we need to adopt, that are different than other people's ideas, so that then there becomes an identification. And that is precisely not what this practice is. Yet I don't know a better word to use than this word faith, because it has a spacious quality to it. There's something that connects your heart, your deepest emotions, your whole life to this practice, which if you really want to get the full value of it, you need to throw yourself so totally into. So we can't eliminate from this thing called Zen Buddhism this issue of what I'm calling, it's just the word, faith. Now, what is faith? How is it different than belief? Belief is based on an idea or a story or a concept or a picture that is oftentimes different than what you see, hear, feel, smell, and that you aim for or believe is waiting for you in some future time, maybe in some future place, maybe after you die. That's not this practice. Faith is the dropping of all beliefs. It is the letting go of all concepts, all maps, all ideas. It is entering into the actual experience of this moment, moment by moment, and becoming that, okay? So faith is not merely the method, which would be to be mindful of this every moment, as I described to everyone here when I've taught you at various times Zazen. The method of Zazen is what I call plunging into the present moment, with all your senses working, experiencing your actual breath, this actual number one, the actual number two, no idea of it. But faith is becoming that, being that, not just doing the practice, it's being it. This is a big leap. Now Dogen, who was a founder of a branch of Zen called Sodo, the main practice of which is Shikantazen, some of us here are doing this particular kind of practice. When I taught the newcomers Zazen tonight, I generally teach counting the breath, which when done for a sufficient period of time so that your focus is really good and you're able to hold on to the count is let go of, and then we are now just following the breath, watching the actual breath, in-breath and out-breath. It gets very subtle. Shikantaza is letting go even of that, just entering the actual flow of the present moment. So from this profound practice, Dogen made a statement which you could say is a perfect description of this faith. And what he said was, mind, and this happened to be mind, even though it's at the beginning of the sentence, it's mind with a capital M. In other words, not my small thinking mind, but the essence of mind. So he said, this mind, capital mind, is none other than mountains and rivers and the great wide earth, the sun, the moon, and the stars. That is what I mean by faith. There's no belief there. Now you can turn that into a belief, but mind is none other than actual mountains, actual rivers, the actual great wide earth, the sound of this fan, the sight of this carpet here, the smell of the incense. That is mind. It is not known by mind. It is not grasped by mind. That's belief. The belief that there's an entity inside that we can't find, we can't locate, we can't see it. We attribute certain characteristics to it, but we don't know exactly what that thing is that we're attributing these characteristics to. That would be the belief. I am smelling this incense. I am hearing this fan. But mind is fan sound. Mind is incense smell. This is faith. Now, as we naturally in this practice come into greater and greater accord with that, meaning we continually let go of the ideas layering over our actual experience and profoundly enter our actual experience, the flow of it, we become that experience, and that is the perfection of faith. That is what faith is. In other words, where we might previously have taken refuge, in other words, there's some painful emotion inside, some sense of separation, some sense of alienation and fear, some worry about the future, some worry about the present, and we take refuge in some hope, some idea, some identification, perhaps some behavior, some habitual behavior, some medication, some intoxicant, whatever it might be, whatever it might be. Now we take refuge in the actuality of what we are. We sit down in this Zazen posture and we become this experience. This is where we take our refuge. When you do that, you immediately understand what faith really is. You get it all the way down. That's the faith. This is critical to this practice. Now, you may not know it initially. You may not even believe it initially. But if you have enough belief in it, faith in it, to continue with the practice, little by little it becomes clarified, because this practice is about letting go of thinking and opening up your arms to embrace the actual experience of the present moment. And that becomes this faith, which once again Dogen described as mind is none other than mountains and rivers and the great wide earth, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Now, what does science say about it? You know, I'm reading a book right now. It's a very, very interesting book, and it's written by a physician, and I believe he's also a physicist. And if he isn't a physicist, he certainly knows a lot about physics. And he studied at Harvard, and he studied with some really great physicists and mathematicians and extremely brilliant people. There is a new view now emerging from an understanding of quantum physics, of something called biocentrism. What it says is that the errors, the paradoxes, the ways in which physics could not completely explain strange phenomena in the universe came from physics' attachment to a notion that the world was out here as a solid, existing, external thing. And physics has traditionally completely neglected the observer. If there was any notion of an observer, that would be a distortion. So we wanted to just look at the world out here. But we found paradoxes that couldn't be explained. For example, if you were to shoot a photon, a single photon, at two slits, and you have a screen behind, if you don't know which slit it goes through, you're just shooting a single photon, when you look at the screen behind, it is absolutely a wave pattern that shows this interference pattern as a wave. If you then put a sensor in one of the two slits, or both, and that sensor detects which of the two slits is one photon, it can go through one or the other slit. Before you know which slit it goes through, it literally goes through both slits and creates an interference pattern. But the minute you know which slit it goes through, it becomes a single dot on the screen behind. In other words, the photon, as it seems, if there was some external world out there, knows that I observed it. It knows it was observed and becomes a point. And when it isn't observed, it remains a wave. How is that possible? That experiment has been repeated over and over and over. It works in every situation. It never fails. They've done variations of this where they split a paired photon so that one shoots off to a great distance and the two have different spins. The first photon, you can't tell what the spin is, it has a wave pattern. You find out what the spin is of the photon is now at a very far distance, and immediately this photon becomes determined. Somehow, this universe knows when it's being observed. How is that possible? Is it possible that this universe is observation? Is. That there isn't two things. We think there's two things. We think there's an entity inside. There's a process of interaction with the world. And then there's an external, so-called existing world. Remember, the definition of this Latin term, exist, is to ex outside, ist stand, to stand outside. So the ordinary viewpoint is that the world stands outside and there's an entity observing inside. And that entity is exerting a process upon an existent outside world, be it hearing, smelling, thinking, touching, tasting. Faith is just smell, just sound. Hearing is embedded in sound. Seeing is embedded in that electron. When that electron is observed, when it's observed, that's an observed electron. It's just that electron. Before anyone knows where that electron is, it can be everywhere. It's only a potential location. So they talk about a cloud of potentiality, which creates this wave pattern. But the moment it's observed, the potentials collapse, and it becomes this exact photon. That is our experience right now. Every single moment, your experience is the collapsing of that potential into an actual world, because it is observed. Or better, it is observation. Remember what Dogen said now. Mind is none other than mountains and rivers and the great wide earth, the sun, the moon, and the stars. That is what mind is. You might also say mountains are mind. Rivers are mind. Carpets are mind. Incense is mind. The moment it becomes mind, it is exactly what it is. It can't be anything else. Therefore, our moment-to-moment experience is done. Completed. The potential multitude of positions of all these particles has become collapsed into this actual experience. Therefore, in my zazen, as I experience the flow of this moment, be it the count of the breath, be it sensations in my body, be it thoughts passing through my mind, the potential has collapsed and it is only this. It can't be anything different. Therefore, I need not contend with it. I need not fight it. I need not resist it. I need not hold on to it. All I need to do is open the space for it, which is already open. So it is just that. So as I describe this kinhin today to some of the newcomers, kinhin, when we do kinhin, it is just walking. Just walking. Sitting is just sitting. Counting is just counting. Not I am counting. We start with that belief that I am counting. And we enter the faith of just counting. The faith of just hearing, just smelling. This is the essence of our practice. So I want to read a koan to you. And it talks a bit about this as well in a little bit different way. So this is from a book called The Zen Koan, which you can see is very well worn. This is one of my favorite Zen texts. And it's a particular translation of a koan from a collection called the Hekigan Roku. Now I should define what a koan is, so it's K-O-A-N. A koan is a teaching story in Zen. And there are literally thousands of these, but perhaps 500 to 700 to 800 are used in training. So many of us have gone through and are currently going through koan training. And these koan, you work closely with them in your zazen. You penetrate them in a very unique way. Initially, perhaps somewhat intellectually, but then it has to penetrate below the surface to really connect with the truth of it. So I'm going to read you a koan from this collection called the Hekigan Roku. This is number 36. And this is just the case itself. And I like the particular translation in this book. It's different than the one that we traditionally use for training. It's slightly different. So this is it. One day, and this person here, Chosha Osho, was a Zen master. Osho means great teacher. So one day, Chosha Osho went for a ramble in the mountains. On his return to the monastery, the head monk said to him, "Osho, where have you been?" "I've come from a ramble in the mountains," Chosha replied. "Where did you go, Osho?" the head monk inquired. "Going, I followed the fragrant grasses. Returning, I pursued the falling blossoms," answered Chosha. "How very spring-like the feeling!" exclaimed the head monk. Chosha answered, "Still better is the dripping of autumn dew from the full-blown lotus flowers." And then there was a capping verse by the compiler of all of these 100 koan and Hekigan Roku. And Secho's Jakugo catching verse was, "I am grateful to you for your answer." In other words, Secho is answering for this monk who is testing this teacher. This is a kind of dharma combat. We'll go into it. He's answering for this monk. Thank you for this profound answer. So this monk is probing this teacher. This was very common back then in China. There would be encounters between teachers and students, or perhaps two teachers. And they would become, if they were particularly useful as teaching stories, they would become incorporated into koan like this. So one day, Chosha Osho went for a ramble in the mountains. He went out for a walk. When he returned, the head monk said, "Where have you been? This is a test question. How is he going to answer this? Where have you been?" He's talking about the past now. "Tell me about where you went." "Oh, let's see, first I went here, then I went there, and I saw this, and I saw that." Ordinary mind describing one event followed by another event, and a person passing through these events. The ordinary way of seeing the world. So Chosha Osho answered, very straightforward, "I've come from a ramble in the mountains." The monk continued, "Where did you go, Osho?" The head monk inquired, "Where did you go?" What is this question asking? Where were you actually? What were you on this ramble? What were you? This is the deeper question here. If you ask someone, "Where'd you go?" He says, "Oh, I went up to the top of Mount Nawadak, and I went up, there's a tower up there, and I looked down." But he says something different. He said, "Going, I followed the fragrant grasses. Returning, I pursued the falling blossoms." The fragrant grasses, the falling blossoms. I was this experience. I was walking. I was the fragrance. I was these falling blossoms. Chosha Osho is describing this state, this faith mind. Mind is none other than mountains, rivers, a ramble, falling blossoms, fragrant grasses. Now, the student has one more test to incorporate that into an idea. How spring-like the feeling! Oh! And Chosha answers them this way. Still better is the dripping of autumn dew from the full-blown lotus flowers. Where is their self there? Where is their idea there? Where is their spring-like feeling? Where is their standing back to examine your state, to comment on it, to notice it? Still better is the dripping of autumn dew. Just. So the essence of this faith is entering with deep trust, just your actual experience moment by moment. This method of Zazen that I've taught some of you tonight is the premier way of entering into that place, entering deeply into that place. It starts with this attentiveness, this focus, bringing the mind from all the thoughts that are constantly creating this sense of separation, identity with an entity with characteristics, and a judgment of the value or lack of value of whatever it is surrounding me, and then all my reactions to it. Now I can focus my mind on the actuality of this moment and develop a power in doing that called Jōriki. And that is the beginning of starting to let go of a notion of standing apart from my experience. And as I do that more and more clearly, more and more readily, more and more automatically, as my Zazen goes deeper, I enter this faith of just this moment. Mind is none other than carpets, incense, fan, my legs on the cushions, just like that. That is deeper aspect of this practice. It is not just a yoga. It is not just a method. It goes way deeper than that. So I'll open it up for some questions at this point, since there are several new people here. And anything about what I just said or about your practice in particular. So does anyone have any questions?